My dear husband has given me the honor of being able to share yet again another Sunday. This will be my third time. And we were talking a little bit last night, and I don't know if you are grasping the importance of what the Lord is saying through this message of going forward and moving forward in the things of God. And it's so important that we as the body of Christ get motivated and get doing what God has called us to do. We don't have a lot of time to do the things that he's called us. The life expectancy, if you really believe what the word says, you can believe for 120 years. Most people give up at 80. 90, whatever. But I have an aunt who just turned 104, and she is going for it. And so, you know, we have even that length of time is what the word says, just a breath of air. It's just a wisp. And so you can't keep putting off and keep putting off what God has put in your heart to do, who he's created you to be. I shared a little bit. I'll just recap real quickly because we want to have time for communion. It's such an awesome time to be able to come and to share this table together. I talked to you about drive with the first message being that drive is an acronym for making a decision. How many of you know it takes a decision before you can do anything? You had to decide to get up. You had to get dressed, you had to decide to drive here, right? Or you could have decided what? To pull the covers back over your head and go to sleep and stay in your nice, warm, comfy house. But we have to make a decision. A decision is so important. And a lot of times what we do is that we know we should do something, but we don't do it. And the Lord wants us to get busy. The next thing is for a routine. I talked to you about how important it is to have a routine. Most of the most successful people in the world have a routine every day. You're not going to probably like this part of it, but they get up at least 2 to 3 hours early before going to work. They spend time investing in themselves and listening to success messages. This is a godly principle that the world has adapted. And people like, who's the Bill Gates and these different ones, if you look at their life, you study successful people, you'll see that they have certain things they do every day. And so it's so important that we have a routine, that we know what our day is going to be before we even get up. We know we're going to do this, and we know that unexpected things come. But if you have a routine, you're used to doing this or doing that, whatever, it helps you to stay on task, doesn't it? The next letter stands for investment. You have to invest in yourself. You have to invest time into yourself. You have to invest in maybe you're supposed to go back to school or take some classes or read some books or whatever it is to put back into yourself. Especially as ministers, you're constantly giving out all the time, and it's important that you invest back into yourself. You do that by reading the Word and spending time in the presence of God. That's important for you all, too. Like I said last Sunday, if you live and work in a world like we live in today, you're being drained constantly. Things are pulling at you all the time. Information is coming at you all the time. The enemy is using things, sight, sound, taste, all these kind of things to pull at you all the time. And it's so important that you invest back into your spirit, man. You need to put back in DRIV, vision. Wasn't the world's greatest speller, but my mom could understand. V is for vision. You have to have a vision. And what I've shared with you is that God has imprinted each and every human being on the inside with vision and dreams. Even those that are not born again, and it's not until you ask Jesus into your heart is that activated. But you have a part to play. You have to ask, what is it that you have for my life? And then you have to get that before you. You have to put that before you so you see it on a consistent basis. You're seeing that vision before you, and I've shared this. I've made a vision hall in my house, And it has things that we're believing for the church, things we're believing for our own lives, things that I'm declaring over my children, my nieces and nephews, and I'm going to embarrass him, but I have one of my handsome nephews, Jacob, is here, if you'll wave. He's my brother Paul's son, and he's from Missoula, so he's visiting us. And he sees his face up there. He knows Aunt Joan prays for him and declares the word over him. This is part of our inheritance. This is part of what God has given to us, that we declare the word out of our mouth over the things that God has put on the inside of us. That's how you get it out, or else it stays in there. I like to use this example because my son James loves chocolate milk. If you pour the chocolate into the milk, unless you stir it up, it settles to the bottom. That's what we have to do. The vision is in there. You have to stir it up. And then you have to draw it out and put it before you every day so you're seeing that. Vision has a voice and you're speaking to it. And then the last or the next one is D-R-I-V-E, everything. It's going to cost you everything to fulfill the plan of God for your life. You're going to have to go after it with everything that's in you. You're going to have to depend on the Holy Ghost more than you ever have. You're going to have to spend that quality time in his presence. You're going to have to hear his voice. You're going to have to be obedient, quick to obey. So last week we spent a little time talking about something that the Lord, I planned on doing what I'm going to teach today last week, but the Lord wanted me to go a different direction. And we talked about the importance of our self-image and that how your self-image affects your destiny. The enemy has a plan for your life just like the Lord has a plan for your life. And they run simultaneously with each other. And his whole purpose is to pull you off of the plan of God. And we talked about how things happen in our lives that we don't expect, tragedies or sexual things that happen to us as children, or people die unexpectedly and we want to blame God for it. All these kind of things are meant to derail you. And what is so important is we have to realize that our identity is not in who we are or the failures that we've had or the mistakes that we've made or who we think we've become or we're so terrible. I shared with you, and it's not something that I am proud of, but I am not that person. I was an adulterer. Yet God had a plan from my birth, and he's using me today. It doesn't matter what you have done. He has a plan for you, and he wants to use you. And so we gave the example of you taking those things that happened in your life that the enemy is trying to use, and we poured the precious blood of Jesus over it after we wrote it down and tore it up. I hope none of you have gone back and we said you'd have to reach through the blood in order to get that. Today I want to talk to you about something, and I've asked this question a couple times. The question is, what are you doing with the rest of your life, or what are you going to do with the life that you have left? And I want to show you a little clip of a something that I saw the other day.
Breathe in and open the eyes and stretch up.
Nobody's beat me for 5 years. I'm still the oldest one in the world. Still doing yoga. When I get up every morning, I believe. And I believe sincerely this. Whatever you put in your mind materializes. And never procrastinate and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. 1 minute after midnight is already today.
Now we're going to lean forward and stretch it.
Two things are incredible to me. Number one is the fact that she can do things that I still can't do. and then the second is just, like, she said something in there about where there's a will, there's a way. And so I think I was encouraged by that, too.
Oh, it inspires me. Because if she can be 98 and still driving and still living on her own and doing asanas like this, it's it gives me hope.
And stretch and come up.
Isn't that amazing? Don't any one of you ever say that you cannot do what God has put in your heart to do. I know she's teaching yoga and things like that. I don't know if she's born again. But even if she isn't, that makes it all the more how much more a child of God can fulfill their destiny and do things beyond what you can think you can do. I used to work in the hospital, and I would see people that were my age or whatever, and they've given up on life. You go to a rest home or places like that, unless they know God and are driven by the Spirit of God, they've given up on life. And He doesn't want any one of you to give up on life and to give up on the things that He's put within your heart. There are areas in each one of our lives that we need to conquer. Can you say amen to that? As I have already established, God has a unique purpose for each and every one of your lives. Right down to your very fingerprints, you are unique. You are special, and God created you to be that way. And because Satan hates you and he hates God, he hates the plan that God has for your life, and he's going to do everything he possibly can to destroy that. One of the areas that the devil loves to use to keep us from moving forward in the plan of God is this little word called procrastination. It's an area where, if you've heard that saying, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? Maybe I said that backwards, but that's much of our thinking is, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. Oh, I'll get to that tomorrow. No, I don't want to do that right now. We procrastinate and we put things off. One person said that tomorrow is the only day that appeals to a lazy man. It's pretty strong, isn't it? We can't afford to be lazy. We can't afford to procrastinate. With all the conveniences that we have in our modern world, it's easy to put things off, isn't it? You know, there was a time in history when they couldn't procrastinate. If you got meat, you went out and shot it, you had to do something with it, didn't you? Or I can remember my gram having to go to the well to draw water for the house. There's things they had to do every day. And we've become such a society where everything is at our fingertips. And if the microwave is too slow, we're up